Good evening, Little Saigon, Seattle. It is August the 18th, 2019. It's almost 10 p.m. Crazy. Almost 10 p.m. and I'm up drinking coffee this Sunday night. Unlike the last podcast, I'm going to try to keep this one relatively brief because I'm not sure how long the improvisational, spiritualitual, transcosmological, ancient special consciousness energies that come from the Blimbus Zone will emerge and at what point they will evacuate the bowels of my consciousness. But as I've told you in the past, I'm trying to like do some funnier podcasts or at least more lighthearted, if not absurd. And at least one of those categories need apply. But all need not apply, right? Oh, man. It's a lot of stuff to get serious about, but we could get funny, maybe. This is actually a serious topic, but I'm going to try to turn it into something funny. And as the alchemist of the ancient times trying to turn lead into gold, I will likely fail and poison, give myself mercury poisoning. Yeah, so I had my last physical in 2013. My last physical was in 2013. I saw my favorite doctor of all time. I won't dox him, but he used to practice in Fremont, Seattle. So I had that last physical, and I had my body's juice checked out, all my juices. He measured the sugar in my glimbus. He measured the cholesterol in the sclimbic zone. He determined that my health was fine, but my soul was in great and deep pain. And I agree with him. This was just after my ex-wife dumped me. I was actually in a really bad place. I was, yeah, pretty bad place. Right after she dumped me, it was basically such a dark place. I ended up in Maple Leaf, Seattle. And if you don't know anything about the neighborhoods of Seattle, most of the horrible things that can be traced to have occurred in Seattle, all of the great murders or acts of violence or terror, most of them have originated in Maple Leaf, Seattle, the neighborhood of Maple Leaf, one way or the other. That's all there is to it. And I know there are people that cloud shitty coffee who will say, oh, I'm having my cloud shitty coffee and having my cloud shitty conversations. My name's Glimbledon, and I'm building really fancy condos for the med students who will work at Harborview. My name's Glimbledon, and I'm building low-rent housing apartments all across the city. I snort and I snort and I smile at my cloud shitty coffee. But also, I'm a Christian, so I should probably stop that. Because those are people too. The people of Maple Leaf, Seattle are people too. Just like I think maybe even Danish people are people. Like, maybe to the extent that you could say that a French bulldog is a dog, you could argue on some level that a Danish person is a person. I don't know how you do that. I feel like I want my own version of Dr. Zaius to pop out, even as a wise, wise, kind old orangutan human, and just give us some advice on whether this Charlton Heston freak in front of us is human. Yeah. Is a Dane human? It's like, what do you think, Dr. Zaius? Yeah, so it's like wabu wabu. Danes might be people, they might not be. But that is also not the topic of this podcast, which I promise to keep lighthearted. And already I've attacked the Danes, and I've attacked the people of Maple Leaf. Fuck. And there's a helicopter overhead, which means You know the popo's on to me, you motherfuckers. I was gangster in the old OG town of Oldsterville back in the day when we would run from machine gun pellets in the heat of the night. Yeah, I'm not gonna go there either because that is its own little story. We don't need to talk about that. My point is, my last physical was in 2013, and a really good physician, I won't name him, because seriously, he's probably one of the best doctors I've ever been around. Good man, smart man in Fremont, Seattle. And if you're a smart person and you know this doctor, I've told you everything you need to know. But a really, really great doctor. And he gave me my physicals, and he has a couple of these really attractive physician's assistants who work with him. And they're really smart too, but they also happen to be attractive. And they measured my glymbus and took out my protein and shoved a Broncus tube, into the Slavic and started pundulating. And they did all the stuff they're supposed to do in a physical for a man who's just been dumped and told he's a total loser piece of shit. You know what I'm saying, buddy? That's what I'm saying, buddy. Anyways, that was, I think, September 2013. Now, you could say, Dan, it's been like 6 years, you've had no physical. And I would say, you need to know a couple things about me. One, I have meditated on this predilection, this feature of human beings, of valuing the present over the future and how it can be flawed. And I think you could argue that's absolutely true. On the other hand, if I was literally born into a time where no choice I could possibly make would impact whether or not the world was going to end in, by 2028, I mean, because this is what basically Guy McPherson believes, that sometime in the mid to late 2020s, basically the human life on Earth will end. Why would I value the future? Like, why would I spend time working at Willy Wonka's? If I truly believed the world was coming to an end, I would quit my job there tomorrow. Now, maybe not tomorrow. I'm not rich, so I might try to like save some cash and whatnot, but I also know that once the gig is up, once everybody figures out that it's a 50 gigaton methane release, or it's something out of Antarctica, or it's a few nuclear reactors that go the wrong way sideways, or whatever else. There could be any, you know what? Some people think they're using geoengineering as a cover to put stuff in the atmosphere to hide Nibiru, planet X. And that, it's coming nearby and it's going to hit us or go near enough to us. It'll be the kind of like the end of times and the Earth's crust will undulate and it'll suck. I honestly don't know, folks. I truly don't know. I do try to have faith that the Lord in heaven has a plan. And I believe the plan is meant to be kind to everybody if we're willing to do the right thing. That's really where that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's basically where, with respect to the world and whatnot, it seems like. Anyways, oh my God, I started getting serious there. I promised I wouldn't get serious. Back away, Dan. Yeah, back away. Anyways. But I haven't had a physical since 2013. And people ask me, well, Dan, how do you get medical care? And that's a really good question because, like, how do I get medical care? Like, how do I get treatment? Do I get treatment? Do I get special treatment from a doctor who gives me tubes and treatment? Well, I do. I have a guy I see. Actually, I have a couple of what I would call, I guess you would call them specialists that I see on a weekly basis. They work nearby. One of them's named, Dr. Long Cheng Chow. One of them is named probably almost racist-like, although I don't care. Because my goal is to offend some people on some days. Long Cheng Chow, he's is an ancient healer who works out of an alleyway in Little Saigon on midnight, only at midnight on Thursdays. So Long Cheng Chow is one of my primary care physicians now, and he works out of an alley in Little Saigon at around midnight. There isn't a lot of light in that alley. He also has a fellow practitioner called Bob Runkus. Bob Runkus is not Asian, and frankly, we can pretend he doesn't fit into any racial stereotype, but he happens to be Irish-Hungarian, Catholic, Italian, Mexicali. Yeah, so Bob Grunkus is basically a human French bulldog. I'm kidding. No, there's Bob Grunkus. And Bob Grunkus and Lang Cheng Chow, Cheng Che, whatever. I don't remember his name because his anesthesia is basically whiskey. His anesthesia is also his antiseptic. Dr. Long Cheng Chow and Mr. Grunkus, Dr. Grunkus and Dr. Chow. Let's keep it simple. Let's call them Dr. Grunkus and Dr. Chow, working out of an alleyway somewhere off of, I don't know, Jackson and Little Saigon and the ID of Seattle. I would go to this alley late at night if I had problems with my bronchus or problems with the clembus that would leave my butthole. I had various issues with the tubes that go in and outside of my glenctus zone. Various issues with cumbus. I had crinkly. I had cumbunctus. And only Dr. Grunkus and Dr. Chow could possibly save me. A person suffering from blinctus of the upper spleen will have a feverish tumorous rash on the inside of their ontal zone. You will feel that most heartily early in the morning after you smoke that cigarette and take your first crap. Dr. Grunkus practices a certain kind of way. He practices a certain special kind of way. He usually asks for Dr. Chow to oversee his various procedures. Most of them involve the, as I said, the vast amounts of whiskey given as antiseptic and as also basically anesthesia. And he gets you knocked out and gets you real drunk. He has a bunch of modeling knives. You know those Xacto knives, the modeling knives that you can get at the modeling store? That represents the bulk of his surgical kit. He has some fishing line to sew you up. He has some sewing kit stuff to sort of thread the needle, so to speak. You know, he bends it a little to be all professional like they are in the movies, because he knows that if he makes it a little hook shape, it'll be easier. That doesn't mean he's good at stitches, Dr. Grunkus. It just means that he wants to try. And it's okay if people want to try. I tell Dr. Grunkus that I think that my spontus may be turning yellow. He confers with Dr. Chow in the darkness of the night. They converse in an ancient language that only the Bliptic people of the islands of the upper region of the San Juans understand. Dr. Grunkus recommends what he refers to as an insectinectomy, or a slashing, or he calls it a partial prison San Francisco style shiving, where he shoves what looks to be, again, in the darkness of the night, a knife he used for scaling fish down at Pike Place Market earlier that day. He shoves it into your chestal zone, and he's not gentle about it. He's not gentle. He's not gentle, Dr. Grunkus. Yeah, so Dr. Grunkus cuts into your chest. He begins probing using various types of, I don't know, turkey basters and various types of flipping tools you can get at the Safeway. Yes, you could say, Dan, isn't this all horribly painful? I mean, you could contend that is horribly painful. And then you could ask the question, Dan, why do you go to see Dr. Grunkus and Dr. Chow in an alleyway at midnight? And here's the more interesting question. Why do you call them Dr. Grunkus and Dr. Chow? Well, let's talk about that for a bit, Beans, you fuck. So yeah, Beans, another interesting fact about my primary care physicians. Another interesting little factoid that you won't learn on CNN. Another little piece of information from Planet Reality. Yeah, my primary care physicians who meet me at midnight in Little Saigon and alleyway, both their medical licenses and their education are from island nations that existed in volcano-bound lakes that swallowed the islands. So essentially, if you've ever been to I don't know if it's Baker Lake or not Baker Lake, but Crater Lake. Have you ever been to Crater Lake or lakes like that? They're basically lakes and volcanic craters. If you can imagine an island nation in the lake, inside the crater, and then it gets swallowed by the volcano, that's kind of what happened to Dr. Grunkus and Dr. Chow. All of their medical education. All of Dr. Grunkus's medical education and Dr. Chow's medical education are from universities and that are in nations that issued licenses, but the nations themselves were swallowed by volcanoes. It's a great tragedy. So yeah, and here's the other thing too. Like I said, Dr. Grunkus and Dr. Chow, they're not gentle. They're not kind nurturers. They're of the school of thought that if you're sick, there's something wrong with you. Dr. Grunkus believes that if you're sick, there's something seriously fucking wrong with you. Dr. Grunkus once said to me, Dan, if you're sick, there's something fucking wrong with you. Yeah, so Dr. Grunkus believes that if you're sick, there's something seriously fucking wrong with you, and therefore believes that he can treat you however harshly or terribly. And so, yeah, he jabs his fish scaling knife from Pike Place that day, covered in fish guts and blood. He believes that if you're strong and your immune system's strong, you should be able to survive that shit, literally. He begins twisting around with probing devices, and he finds the gunctus. He finds it, and he looks at you and says, Dan, I have frightfully terrible news, Dan. Dan, the texture of your gunctus is slightly speckled. Your gunctus reveals a lesion between the separation zone. And the disco fever. Dan, we're gonna have to do what's called deep super soul surgery. This involves taking some fireworks we get at the reservation and shoving them up your butt. Once we've done that, we'll set them off and we will destroy the Ganktus lesion, but that will release a set of parasites into your bloodstream. So I have this half-ass radiation device I built out of a microwave and an old x-ray machine that, you know, a shoe store was using back in the 30s. You may not know this, but shoe stores would x-ray people's feet back in the day. They thought that was value add. People would get cancer from that shit, so it wasn't value add, but Dr. Gronkus finished his surgery and did his post-op treatment to more whiskey. He asked Dr. Chad to assist in the radiation therapy using the half-assed microwave merged with bits and pieces of an old 1930s shoe store freaking x-ray machine for x-raying feet. So yeah, and when they're done with this, you're left with these sores and these marks, and part of you wants to go to the UFO contact agency and say, "Folks, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me last night. Can you believe this? I was abducted from Little Saigon. The aliens from a planet probably 15 to 18 light years away. There's a reason to believe that the Zimbic people have been traveling through space for over 45,000 clen. Their ship was powered by vibranium. The vibranium produced a super wave of energy that allowed the ship to travel so fast that their thoughts would be left behind. Like cool rock from the 1970s. Yeah, so I don't know, folks. But this is my medical care now. And some of you might say, well, Dan, this is just fucking crazy. You're telling me that your primary care physicians only practice out of an alley at midnight on Thursdays when the moon is either full or not because they really don't give a shit and they use really crusty fish knives to perform surgery and they give you whiskey and they use a half-assed shoe store radiation x-ray machine from the 30s to irradiate you to get rid of the parasites that were released from the weird lesions they talked about. And on top of that, their medical licenses and education come from countries that were swallowed by volcanoes. Now, you would say, Dan, how much do you pay for that medical care? Well, that's a good fucking question, because I sometimes ask that question myself. It's sort of like saying, is Beans a dog? Like, there are times I think that my sister's French bulldog is a dog. Like, maybe, I don't know, 1 × 10⁻²⁶ dog. Like a very small, almost infinitesimal, smaller than a quark dog. Like there's a small sub-quark sized particle of dog in Beans. The rest of him is all sawdust and asbestos and broken glass and gasoline and metal shavings and pain and evil. But there might be that tiny, tiny half a quark of, like, good old-fashioned decent dog in any French bulldog. So I just don't know. These are all ponderable questions, but what you need to know is that when I came back from my follow-up the following Thursday at midnight, Dr. Chow had let me know that Dr. Gronkus would not be able to see me for my post-op consult. Thank you. Yeah, so Dr. Gronkus was not there. Dr. Chow was there. He had a little like card table set up, and he had a tiny little candle lit, and he actually went out of his way to get a lab coat from LabCorp that was thrown into the garbage to wear it. He looked very fucking professional in that fucking alleyway. He even hung up his licenses from the nation of Cosmopia that used to exist in the volcano of Rex upon the realm of Transit 4. He even put that license and that university degree up there. It felt so real as a medical experience. Dr. Chow said, "Please, Dan, come sit down. We need to talk. There's something wrong with you. Dan, we need to talk about something here. There's something seriously wrong with you. Dan, if you check your stool, you'll see that it's red. Dan, if you check your stool, you'll see that it's acidy and filled with glumbus and crongus and cred." So yeah, he sort of said, "Your glinkus is impossible." Yeah, so, and Dr. Chow continued to enumerate the issues. He said, "Most of my tubes were filled with scamp, and scamp could only be removed by consuming massive amounts of Clorox bleach, toilet cleaning gel, coconut flavored Scentiva. I would need to consume at least 2 bottles of that a day." He doubted I'd survive, but if I survived, I would be stronger for it. But what he wanted to make clear above all else is, "Dan, there's something fucking wrong with you. There's something seriously fucking wrong with you. There's something wrong with your head. You don't sleep right in the bed. And you actually aren't that good at the keyboard, which means you need to take lessons or practice more, you scumbag." But yeah, some of you would judge my form of medical care. You'd say, you're just, but yeah, how much do I pay for it? I pay plenty. After Dr. Chow was done explaining to me that there was something seriously wrong with me, but that might still be okay if I eat the toilet cleaning gel, he proceeded to give me my bill. He'd hired a Gumpik slave from down the street, dressed in a little tutu outfit, to walk up to me as if it were like the billing secretary, but not a Gumpik slave. He found a Gumpik slave congregating off of Broadway. There are so many Gumpik slaves up there. The Gumpik slave hands me my bill, and he wants over 40 scrum. And I say, "Damn you, Dr. Chow, you know that I have to pay the widow." "I have to leave money behind for the orphans." "Oh, damn you, Dr. Chow, I have to somehow discombobulate my disoriented re-combobulation." Yeah, so I don't think that, yeah, so yeah, usually about 10 bucks, 10 bucks a visit. And usually it's quite painful. And it's probably, I would say, if I'm being blunt, it's probably shaving years off my life, but it's the best treatment I can get. And I gotta say, Dr. Chow says Dr. Grunkus might be okay. He might be back. We don't really know. It's kind of one of those mystical things. Like he may have, basically had to go. He may have gone back to the hospital, And I don't mean to practice. He may have gone back to the hospital. He's back on Haldol or some type of Krasnian brain drug. Dr. Gronka stares into the night, knowing his madness is just a darker inner madness. Dr. Gronka knows that there's no one that cares about the loneliness of his insanity. The doctors laugh and mock him. The nurses look at him and sneer. Yeah, so Dr. Gronkis is probably undergoing some sort of treatment right now. Probably a transcrotal lobotomy or a trans-infused supersonic type, you know, electroshock therapy. Maybe some type of hydrotherapy that involves a hydroplane. I don't know, folks, but I'm going to tell you something. I think I'm going to close out this podcast with the following message. You need to think about your body. And there ain't nothing more keto than cato. The most keto diet is the animal that must eat the protein, and the cat must have protein. There's nothing more keto than cato. Yeah, so eat your cato, but also get your tubes checked out. You know, maybe you don't want to see Dr. Gronkis or Dr. Chow. Maybe you want to see the more expensive doctors that practice a little further down Rainier Avenue out of a well-lit office on Friday nights at 10 p.m. Sure, it looks like a nail salon, but it's really Vin Magoo's doctory and professional body shapery. They'll perform surgery using tools and techniques that you could only possibly imagine. Yeah, so, you know, get yourself some doctors and have them check out your tubes. And if you can't afford that, do a do-it-yourself colonoscopy and get one of those plumber's helpers or the little fucking, you know, thing you get at the fucking, I don't know, the auto supply store. A little fiber optic scope. Do it yourself. Get an app from Russia. Put on your iPhone. Get the scope. Scope yourself. Check yourself out. And check in, man. Check in. And have a great Sunday night, because it's getting late, and I feel like, I don't know, maybe I've ruptured everything. But yeah, we've talked about my primary care system. It's pretty good for my bloodstream. Sometimes I have colors in my stool that are not making me happy. It's like a rainbow. Colors of the spectrum that greet you in the morning. It's a sign that something's melting inside. I think something's melting inside. I know something's melting inside. Yeah, so something's melting. And have a great Sunday night.